next speaking for us, and I'm pretty sure about this, is Shahade Twal, who has been here for a couple of years now already, and like most people who come to Jerusalem, end up doing a whole range of things. He's got a bunch of arrows in his quiver. Is that how you say it? He's represents the Nazarenes here. He's a pastor at the Nazarene Church. He's also on our leadership team here. But he's a minister in Jordan. He's done all kinds of evangelism among all kinds of people, among Muslim background believers. When he was in Europe, he's done the same. When he was visiting this summer, he's had all kinds of great stories. He's done some amazing things, and we're glad to have him as one of ours on our leadership team here as well. So it's great to have him speak for us this morning.
Thanks, Danny. They told me that black makes you look thinner, so it's not working, at least, so I try harder next time. Maybe work on a diet. See. I'm one of those people that my family and I actually are some of those people that Chuck and Liz took in and made part of this family, and we are very, very grateful for them, and we have very good friends here, and we enjoy being part of this community, and our girls love it here. They have their friends. We have friends. So thank you, Chuck and Liz, for bringing us in and making us part of this family. We appreciate it very much. And Danny is actually helped inspire my message for today. He doesn't know it because he preached a couple, I don't know how, when was it? Maybe even last year. You preached about the steward who embezzled from his master. The verses are found in Luke chapter 16, if you want to go to your Bible. And he made some very, very good points that day. And I liked it, so I kept thinking on that, his message, and I kept reading that parable of Jesus that Jesus told to his disciples about the rich man who had a manager, and that the manager was embezzling and he had to kick him out, and before, you know, while he still have a little bit of time, the manager goes and forgives some debt from some people, and he gains favor not only from the people he forgave the debt but also from his manager, amazingly. And then what I want to focus on tonight, this morning, sorry. I'm usually preaching at night, that's why I'm used to saying tonight. Verse 9 of Luke 16. What time is it? 12, okay. So I have still an hour, right? Yeah, okay. And I say to you, this is in verse 9, Luke 16, 9. Make friends for yourself by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you and trust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is yours? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. And the title of my sermon this morning is Earn or Make Money, Save Money, and Give Money. And money, just the word money in church, you don't hear it a lot. People don't like to talk about money in church. We talk about money everywhere else. But somehow we think this is an unholy topic to mention in church. In ministry in general, people don't like to talk about money. I remember after quitting my job and, you know, I was working in a company, I left my job and went in to study theology and coming back to become a minister. And the first time I had to talk about my salary, I felt very, very uncomfortable. It was very hard for me to talk about money. It is hard, but it is not a bad thing to talk about. It is hard to talk about money, but it is not a bad thing. We find God and Christ talking about money in different times in the Bible. We've just heard it from Christine this morning. Because where and how we spend our money has very little to do with shekels or dollars or pounds or whatever form of currency you're used to, JDs, but rather it is a manifestation of where our hearts are truly committed. If you want to see where our hearts committed, see where we spend our money. In considering our financial lives as Christians, we don't need more money. Rather, we need more wisdom on how to use what we already have. However, that being said, it's unlikely that any one of us will turn away money that is given to us, especially if that money comes with, you know, no strings attached. We'll take that money. But we also know that if we have more money, we'll have more problems. That's a common thing. It's a saying. People always say, oh, he has more money you get, the more problems you have. Now, as I said, I was thinking about this message for a while. I think you preached it in the summer last year, Danny, something like that. And so I was reading it, and I was reading different writings and commentaries about it. And as Danny mentioned, I come from Nazarene Church, which we follow the Wesleyan tradition, John Wesley's theology. And I found out that John Wesley wrote a sermon on this topic. Now, he was a reformer. John Wesley was ministering in the UK, and he was firmly ministering among the poor and working class of the UK. Now, these people strongly responded to his preaching, which called the people to a higher life with God. Not just a faith of blind participation, but a full and holistic Christian life. Now, as Wesley's revival swept across Britain, the Spirit led more different kinds of people into the preaching houses. Lords and ladies were now sitting next to housemaids and the common people. Wesley found it necessary to address this new economic diversity so he could make clear exactly how God was calling his people to use their money. There it is, that word again. Do you get chills when you hear it in church? Oh, he's talking about money. And he used this passage I read part of it as his guiding point for his sermon. So I'm going to take a little bit of quotes from John Wesley's sermon. Now we have in our story a steward in the truest sense of the word. He is a manager of an estate that is not his own, but it's likely that he has been left to tend it with very little oversight from the owner. He is the man in charge on a daily basis, and in the eyes of the community, he is the one who holds the power. Now, we know what happens to men in power. Somebody always wants that power from them. So somebody goes and wants, maybe because they wanted that power, we don't know their motivation is, but he rats him out. You know, he goes, hey, master, this man is wasting all your money. And he's not taking good care of it. We don't know exactly what the mismanagement was, but the master has decided to relieve this man out of his duties, knowing that he will be soon out of a position, out of a job. The manager realizes that he has a limited opportunity to do something about it. Now, John Wesley says, in observing this moment, in this man's parable, he says that the love of money we know is the root of all evil, but it is not the thing itself. The fault does not lie in the money, but in them that use it. The fault does not lie in the money, but in them that use it. The steward could have easily embezzled funds to prepare for his unemployment, but instead, he chooses an act that is good for himself, for the community, an act that is even good for his boss, for his manager, for the master. The steward goes to the people who are deeply indebted to his master, recognizing an opportunity to gain allies through mercy. He instructs these men to cut their debt as much as in half. This is a huge act of compassion on his side, and incredibly dangerous also for him. Because in the past, massive debt could lead to life imprisonment, could lead to slavery, could even lead to death. But the manager takes the advantage of his position to alleviate strain on others, to bring justice to a potentially unjust and broken situation. He knew these people could never pay their debt. We don't know how he was mismanaging before. It doesn't say in the text. But maybe this was his act of repentance. Though he cheats his master, he helps to restore the hope and position of his debtors. And while the money was never his to begin with, the access it gave him to have influence in his community was very real. And that access and that power did belong to him. By using that, he brings goodwill towards his master. That's why I said he does something for himself, for his community, and for his master. Because now the master is in a position to let this go and gain the love of everyone else in the community that the debt was forgiven, or to challenge it and be the most hated person in that village. So he put his master in a position that allowed the master to be beloved. Benevolent. Thank you very much. Benevolent, and show mercy. And by doing so, he gains the praise of his master. Money in the right hand is transforms, Wesley says. Money in the right hand is transformed. In the hands of his children, of God's children, it is food for the hungry, drink for the thirsty, clothing for the naked. It gives to the traveler and the stranger where to lay his head. By it, we may be a difference for the oppressed, a means of health to the sick, of ease to them that are in pain. It may be eyes to the blind, as feet to the lame. It can be a lifter up from the gates of death. This all can happen through money in the hands of his children. Yoni doesn't know that I'm going to share this, but Cornerstone and this church and many people who have given have used money to do exactly this, the same to refugees in Jordan. Not only this congregation, many, many people around the world. Maybe somebody who is listening to this sermon online. They have helped do that. They provided food for the hungry, drink for the thirsty, clothing for the naked, shelter for the stranger or the traveler, the refugee, a place to lay their head. They made a difference in the life of the oppressed, a means of health for the sick, of ease to them that are in pain. All of it, if it used good. Bills and coins hold no actual value. but that which we assigned to it. We as a society decided this is how this piece of paper is going to worth, how much it's going to worth, and we all accept that. And the result of having money in our world, the manifestation of these bills and coins are power and respect and success, unfortunately. And we, just like the steward, have a choice on how to gain that power and how to use it once we have it. We all have to participate in the economic system. We don't have a choice. Sometimes we wish when it comes to pay taxes that, you know, I opt out, but unfortunately, we can't. We all have to participate in the economic system. We have no choice, but we do have an option to participate in a way that honors God, a way that is loving, generous, and above all, a way that is just. Now, this all requires a deep level of faith and commitment to constantly be seeking God's will for our lives, not just in how we spend, but also in how we earn. That's even more important. To allow the talents and skills that God has given us in our own person to lead us into profitable means, to lead us into good ways of earning money. Because we know there are bad ways we can spend our money, but there are also bad ways we can earn our money. So we need to be seeking God's will in both. For most people, having more money does usually mean more problems. That problem I don't have, that's what I hear. Problems especially for their souls. Because with more money, more access to power, we gain more responsibility for the economic system. And we gain more responsibility to make sure that it is just and right, that this system we live in is just and right, that it does not take advantage of the least of those. This is especially hard when our culture tells us we earn to take care of ourselves. This is the common theme. You don't earn to help others, you earn just to help yourself, to take care of your own person. So for us, the faithful, the responsibility, the opportunity to earn more is a very good thing. Sometimes people have been, growing up, people have taught me differently. But that's not the way it is. We have a responsibility to earn more because it is a good thing. Access to money is an opportunity to seek justice and love mercy and walk humbly with God. To recognize money for the unlasting thing that it is. Temporary. Only in this world to use it to make lasting change, to bring healing and forgiveness. That being said, we must be careful of our talk over stewardship. And I want to make one thing clear this morning. The right use of money is a response to grace, not a way to earn grace. The right use of money is a response to grace, not a way to earn grace. This is not what I'm saying this morning, that we give to earn God's salvation or we give to get God's grace. No. Too many high-profile preachers in our world today teach a different lesson, that giving money to God will earn you God's favor. If you are struggling to trust God in your life, just write a check and send it to my ministry. That will show God you are faithful, and you will see all the hardship in your life quickly turn around. I want to say it again. That is not true, and that is not what I'm saying this morning. What I am saying is that stewardship, faithful giving, and support of the mission of God in the world is not a way into faith. It is not a way into faith, but a calling and responsibility, because we deeply understand and believe in what God has already done for us. If you understand and believe what God has already done for you, then you have to be a good steward and you have to be a faithful giver, because that is who God is. We understand that God is offering, we understand what God is offering to the world in grace and love, and we want to be part of that. So we give to the mission of God because we want to be part. We can't all be missionaries somewhere. We can't all be preachers. We can't all be servants. But we can all give in one way or another. So for us, those who already call ourselves disciples, because this message in the beginning, if you read Luke 16, it says, now he was also saying to the disciples, this is, he wasn't talking to non-believers or to the general crowd. He was talking to believers, to disciples. And if we call ourselves disciples who are already seeking to work alongside God, increasing our earnings means we also increase our opportunity to give and do work and do the work of God. So we can change that old saying of more money, more trouble to more money, more mission, more money, more grace, more money, more giving, more money, more hope for those who do not have it. We as a community, and I consider myself part of this community, have received a great deal in our life. We are saved. Amen. We have a place of worship where we can gather safely and worship our God. We are sitting right in it. Our children have good schools to go to. They have a good teacher back there teaching them. We have a warm place to sleep at night. And now it is our turn to be good stewards of what we have. Gifts and finances. I'm not only talking about gifts, but also finances. Money. As part of one body, it is up to us to help and take care of other parts of this body and help it grow and flourish. This is our responsibility. Now, when we talk of the body of Christ, some people in their mind make a split and think, okay, this is the church. This is like it's as if the church is this thing that is far away and separate from us. No, the church, the body of Christ, is us. The church is made up of individuals. And we as individuals need to do the same in our lives. We need to do the most good with what we have. Not to wait till we have millions, but use what we have to help expand the mission of God. In order to do that, we need to be good, wise, and faithful stewards in our own lives. The ministry of this church and of any church does not happen without the community and the partnership of the people who call it home. I'm going to say it again. The ministry of this church and of any church does not happen without the commitment and partnership of the people who call it home. So, I'm going to close by repeating this wisdom from John Wesley. Gain all you can by honest industry. Use all possible diligence in your calling. Lose no time. If you understand yourself and your relationship to God and man, you know you have no time to spare. Wesley knew that the kingdom of God was already here. We also know that the kingdom of God is already here. The kingdom of God was already working and is already working to restore and repair, to love and to serve. And that we, as the faithful, are called to be involved in that work. We must believe that what little good we can do with what little we have God, with His infinite power, can use that little to do much, much more than we can ever imagine. Two fish, five loaves of bread. You get the picture. So let us answer the call to be faithful, using what we have for the most good, and always thinking to gain more for the glory of God's kingdom. So, I end with this. Make more, save some, but give more. Amen.